This is session number 61 of the Gospel according to John. We are in John chapter 9, which is a wonderful chapter where Jesus gives physical sight and also ultimately spiritually sight to a man blind from birth. Last time we looked at verses 1 through 5, where Jesus and his disciples came upon this man after Jesus was done teaching in the treasury of the temple. We saw the disciples asked a misinformed question about the cause of this man's blindness. And then we saw Jesus' wonderful response to their question, which revealed that this man's blindness was all just to manifest the wonderful works of God in him. And that ultimately, Christ is the light of the world. Remember, we're dealing with blindness, which is darkness. But praise God, in walks Christ, who is the true light. Now today we're going to look at verses 6 through 12, where we'll see Jesus actually healing the blind man. And then we'll see the immediate response of the people around him to this amazing miracle. Moving forward from there, we'll see more controversy that comes out of this, as it seems that just about everything Jesus did and taught in his ministry created controversy. But for today, Lord willing, we're just going to look at verses 6 through 12. So let's read the scripture, and then ask God to give us insight as we break it down, verse by verse. John 9, let's pick it up in verse 5 to get a rolling start in. Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed, and I received sight." Then said they unto him, "Where is he?" He said, "I know not." Father, open our eyes as we look into these scriptures so that we can see the true light and his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen. So, this is the miracle, and this is quite a miracle. Jesus Christ giving sight to a man who was blind since birth. Let's not downplay this. Most people on planet Earth have pretty normal lives, and they have bodies that work and eyes that see and ears that hear and mouths that speak and legs that function and hands and arms that work, and we take these things for granted. But to try to even begin to imagine what it would be like to have such a severe handicap as blindness, and to have that since the day you were born, and to never know what it is to see the light of day, to never know what it is to see the trees and the blue sky and the clouds above, and to see things like rivers and oceans and mountains, streams. All the wonderful things that the eye can behold on planet Earth. this man had never seen. He had touched things, he had tasted things, he had smelled things, he had felt things, he had learned to manage to get around and kind of do the essentials of surviving and making sure he's able to beg to get money so he could get daily bread. But really, it was impossible for him to thrive and live an abundant life on planet Earth. But praise God, as we said before, and what Jesus said, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so in comes the light of the world into this man's life, and he will never be the same. We're going to see ultimately the work of Christ isn't just the work in the physical, although he's going to work in the physical, hallelujah, but the complete work of Christ that we will see will be the work in the physical and ultimately the spiritual. But let's take a look at this actual miracle that Jesus did, how he did it, how the man was healed, because as we're seeing, each of Jesus' miracles are slightly different. Sometimes he just speaks the word and it's done. Sometimes he commands other people to do things, and then through their obedience, the miracle happens. So let's take a look at this. In verse 6, this is what Jesus actually did. It said, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. So again, this is after he revealed who he is spiritually through his words. Right? He just revealed who he is. I am the light of the world. So he just shone the light spiritually through his words, and now he's going to move when he had thus spoken. Okay, so first spiritual truth comes, and now he's going to move in the physical. And what does he do? He spat on the ground. That's spitting. Now, spitting is a form of disrespect. And this might just be a little bit of a foreshadow. This man is going to receive some shame and disrespect because of what Jesus is about to do. Now, Jesus isn't going to disrespect this man. He's not going to bring shame upon him. He's actually going to bring blessing to him ultimately. But one thing we have to understand is that in order to get true blessing from the Lord in the spiritual realm, often we must receive the shame and disrespect from the physical. Jesus spat on the ground. You know, this kind of shows what Jesus thinks of the flesh. Remember, our bodies of flesh were originally formed from the dust of the earth, from the dirt of the ground. And so Jesus spits on the ground. That's shame, that's disrespect. But he's going to do something. Through this act of shame and disrespect, he's going to form something that's going to play a specific purpose towards the end of this man receiving his sight. So what he does next is he makes clay of the spittle. Okay? Again, it's just the spittle. So the spit mixed with the dirt, gets thick, he makes a clay of it. Remember, he is the potter. We are the clay. Think about this. Even if what comes out of God's mouth disrespects us, it can still be used to make something useful in his hands. Right? Being spit on, that's disrespectful. Now, I know Jesus didn't spit on the man, but he's spitting on the dirt and making clay. But remember, our flesh is made of dirt. God's words that come out of his mouth, he doesn't have many good things to say about our flesh. And yet, if we'll yield to his handiwork, as he is the potter, and we will be submissive clay in his hands, he can form something good. Now think about this. Jesus is the one who formed man out of the dust of the ground originally. And when he formed Adam's body out of the dust of the ground, that included eyes. He formed eyes out of the dust of the ground. So what's neat to consider is that he's about to restore these physical eyes the same way he made them in the first place. Pretty neat, huh? You see, when you first read this story, it's kind of weird. Like, why would you do that? And then, but actually, if you think this thing through, Jesus is the one who made all things back in the beginning. He made man. He formed man out of the dust of the ground. He formed eyes out of the dust of the ground. He's about to heal eyes by taking that same dirt and spitting on it and making clay and putting it back on those eyes. He's able to take dirt and make it into something living through his word. So it says, and then he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And this is interesting. He anointed the eyes of the blind man. He anointed. So in this situation, water, which, you know, his spit, plus earth, plus the hands of Christ equal anointing. Water plus earth plus the hands of Christ equal anointing. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, talks about Jesus. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Then in verse 8, it says, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. Said, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. See, the Spirit is called the anointing in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. It says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So the water, plus the earth, plus the hands of Christ, he anoints his eyes. By the way, only Jesus can anoint our eyes to see. Here I'm speaking spiritually. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, Jesus Christ is speaking to a church that was saying, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And he's saying, and you don't know, you knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Because you're blind. That's one of the things, a bunch of other things, but you're blind. And so then in the next verse says, I counsel thee, he says, to buy of me gold, to buy white raiment. And then the last thing he says, and to anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. See, they had to come back to Christ so that they get the true gold, they get the white raiment, and they could get that eye salve that could anoint their eyes so they could finally see. This is what Paul prayed for spiritually. Again, this man was physically healed, but we're talking about spiritual. This is what Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus, Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that's the knowledge of Christ, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Those are eyes being opened, so that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. See, only Jesus, by the power of the Father, can anoint our eyes to see. So Jesus, he makes the clay out of the spit with the dirt, and he picks it up, and he anoints this man's eyes. And then in verse 7, Jesus' command, he said unto him, go. And then that's the first word, go. Jesus calls to action. Go. What did he say after he rose from the dead to his apostles? Go. He's always calling to action. Go what? Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Okay, so we see through Christ's word, when we respond to his word, we are washed. Go wash. This is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just to be saved from hell one day when you die, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is to wash us so that we are pure in heart and pure before God. Acts chapter 15. Peter is retelling the story of when he preached the gospel to the Gentiles for the first time. And it says in verse 8, "And God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." See? So, Peter preached, that's the word. The Holy Ghost came down, that's the anointing. And their hearts were washed, were purified by faith. See, faith is believing and it's also obedience. They obeyed the word that was preached by believing in Christ. Christ's word always leads to being washed. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul explains the truth that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he gives a list of a bunch of sinners who are vile and unclean and corrupt and evil. And he says, these people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Evil, unclean people cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You say, then who can be saved? Well, they can be saved, but only if they're washed. Verse 11, he says, "And such were some of you. You used to be like that, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." There is no salvation without washing. There's no spiritual sight restored. There's no healing to the inner man without washing. He says, go wash in the pool. Interesting, the pool sounds like a baptism. I didn't get baptized, but it's just interesting, in the pool. In the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Sent, I like that. This man is sent by Jesus to be cleansed and healed. Through being washed, he's going to be healed. His eyesight's going to be restored. And shortly thereafter, he will be a witness. He's going to be like a preacher to testify of Christ's grace. Guess what? In order to be a true preacher of Christ's grace, a true witness, you must be sent, according to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Verse 15, you must be sent to preach the gospel, but you can't preach the gospel of his grace and bear witness to his glory unless you are first sent to get washed and get your eyesight recovered. Now, everything that Jesus does is good and it's wonderful, but now it's up to the man to either obey or disobey, to respond to the command to go wash in the pool that's called sent, because he's sent to the pool and he's going to be sent from the pool as a witness, or is he going to neglect this command? Well, praise God. The man, he obeys. And verse 7, it says, he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. He went his way, therefore. See, he was sent by the command of Christ, and he washed, just like Jesus told him to do. He was obedient, and he came seeing. You cannot fail when you obey the word of Christ. What a wonderful picture of salvation. You think of Acts chapter 2, when Peter preaches to the multitude. He preaching Christ, and they're pricked in the heart. And they go, men and brethren, what must we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. See, you mean business? You serious? Okay, repent. That's like going, that's like turning from your ways and going towards the Lord. Repent and be baptized. Go to the pool and get washed. Now, I know the baptismal pool doesn't wash the inner man. It's just an outward sign of what's happening in the heart. But go to the pool, get washed, and boom, you'll see. You'll receive forgiveness of sins. The Holy Ghost. It's neat. Look at the people's response. In verse 8, it says, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? See? Jesus took notice of a beggar. And after this man's encounter with Jesus, he would never sit and beg again. See, they go, isn't this the guy who used to sit here and beg? But he doesn't look the same. He doesn't look like a beggar anymore. Now he looks like a normal person. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, if Jesus works in your life, you'll never beg again. You'll never sit and beg. And some said, this is he, affirmation. Others said, he is like him. Maybe it was too hard to believe. It's like, hey, it looks like him, but there's no possible way it can be him. And what's interesting is, you know, some said, yeah, no, it's him. And others said, he's like him. You know, in some ways, that's actually a true statement, because he's not really the same person anymore. See, this is the thing about Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ moves in your life, when he anoints your eyes, when he sends you, when you wash and you're obedient to his call of the gospel, then you're not really the same person. So even the people who said, well, he's like him, I'm not sure if it's really the same, they were right. It wasn't really the same person. Not, you know, it was the same person, but this is the thing about the move of Christ. You'll never be the same. But of course, the man, he's going to affirm. He said, I am he. No, it's me. It's me. It's really me. And so therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? You know, they're trying to follow up. They're trying to figure this thing out. You know, what happened? So he retells the story. In verse 11. I love this, by the way. This is how we begin to learn to be a witness for Jesus. We don't try to learn a bunch of Bible facts and try to preach a bunch of things we don't really understand. You know what really happens? The best way to first begin to be a witness is just let Jesus move in your life, respond to him, what he's doing, obey him, and then just bear witness to the great things that Christ has done in you. See, it just retells a story, a man called Jesus. Amen? It all starts with Jesus. It always does. He's the Alpha. A man that's called Jesus, he made clay. Man, just like in Genesis 1. And he anointed mine eyes. Jesus, he anoints. And he said unto me, amen, his word, his voice is what brings new life. He said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam. Again, action to go. Go and wash. Remember, Jesus calls us to cleansing, to washing. There's no such thing as being born again and still having an evil, corrupt, defiled heart. It's impossible. He calls us to be washed. And you know what he says? And I went and washed, and I received sight. I love it. I went and washed. Instant and exact obedience. That's what we need. We need instant obedience and exact obedience. Not sloppy half obedience, or not like delayed procrastinated obedience. Eyes anointed, go wash. And you go, okay. And he kind of finds his way to the pool. Maybe somebody helped him there. Amen. Sometimes we need a little help to get to the pool, and somebody helps him. But he gets there, and he does exactly what Jesus said. He washes, and guess what the result is? And I receive sight. When we instantly and exactly obey Jesus' commands, well, then you can understand that God is going to bless that instant, exact obedience with pretty instant results. Now, look, I'm not trying to create a false sense of hope here, because I know sometimes there are things we have to patiently wait for and endure for, but when we obey the Lord, man, He comes through. He is not a deceiver who's going to make it sound like, go wash, and then you do it, and then nothing happens, and, oh, we'll go wash again, and then we'll pray 10 times, and keep praying, and maybe, no. If He gives you a specific command, if you do that command, the results that He has promised will come through. See, through Jesus' compassion, action, word, and obedience to His command, we are guaranteed newness of life. And so then, you know what their next question was? Once they hear the story about what Jesus did, the question is, then they said to Him, where is He? You know, this is the thing. When Jesus comes into your life and fixes the thing that was broken in you since birth, man, if it's real, this is a real move of Christ. Others are going to notice the difference. They're going to see it. Some are going to think you're not even the same person. You're going to tell them about Jesus, and there's going to be people going, where is He? Where is this Jesus? I want to meet Him. Amen. Where is He? Now, in this literal story, this man hadn't received Christ yet. He hadn't received His spiritual sight. He just received physical sight. He knew the name Jesus, but he didn't really know who Jesus was just yet. He hadn't come to the faith in Christ as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And so he just knows it's Jesus, and He gave me physical sight. So he says, I know not. And sometimes that's the case, even today. Sometimes Jesus steps into someone's life and does something, and they know it was Jesus, but they don't really know how to lead you to Jesus. They don't really know how to show you the way to Christ, because this thing is all just so fresh and new. But no matter what, let's give glory to God here. The Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd, full of compassion for the lost and scattered sheep. And He is able to step in and move. And because He is the light of the world, He can shine light in the darkness that nobody else could shine light into. He can open our eyes to see what we could never see before. And He can do this all by His handiwork, by the stuff that comes out of His mouth and His handiwork and His command to be washed so that we can be sent to bear witness of His grace and His glory, because He is the light of the world. And He is the Lord, the I Am, who appeared to Moses and said, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I therefore the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. This is wonderful. And this should stir our hearts. And so next time, by the grace of God, we're going to see that they're going to bring this man to the Pharisees. And little did he know, but truly he would be a chosen vessel sent to bear witness of Jesus' glory before these Pharisees who hate and despise the light of the world. This is session number 61 of the Gospel according to John. John chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. Amen and amen.